You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. An outbreak of the deadly coronavirus has set off alarm bells among public health officials. It's also kept the phone ringing off the hook for businesses that specialize in disaster preparedness. Boise State Public Radio's Heath Druzan has more.
Emergency Essentials specializes in helping others squirrel away survival necessities. But for the past week, they've been finding their own cupboards bare.
A majority of our items are kind of flying off the shelves right now due to the amount of people wanting to get emergency supplies because of the coronavirus.
Joe Reek is the Salt Lake City company's vice president of sales. Americans have been inundating so-called prepper companies with inquiries about dehydrated food, 72-hour survival packs, and masks. Reliable numbers on the prepping industry are scarce, but in talking to five prepping specialists around the country, all but one reported a coronavirus-related bump. It's no coincidence that many such businesses are in strongholds of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. While many Americans may think of prepping as a fringe activity, the church encourages Mormons to be prepared to take care of themselves and help their neighbors.
So the basic needs that you have are water, salt, beans, wheat, and milk. Those are the five.
Wendy McKinney lives in Meridian, Idaho, and teaches disaster preparation. She's showing me around her purpose-built food storage room in her suburban home.
These are 44 to 45 pound buckets. We have a lot of wheat.
Like many Latter-day Saints, McKinney grows her own vegetables and keeps 72-hour survival bags for each family member ready to go.
We've got the potato soup, which is actually enough for three different dinners.
And something like the coronavirus, which has left millions of Chinese quarantined in their cities, is exactly the kind of emergency McKinney thinks about when planning for the worst.
I actually thought of this scenario a while ago. I'm like, well, what if we are in a lockdown, situation?
John Ramey, founder of the prepper website theprepared.com, says coronavirus has pushed record traffic to his site and piqued interest in prepping for many who hadn't previously considered it. He hopes that helps efforts like Wendy McKinney's become more mainstream.
We think it's just a responsible part of adulting.
Whether that momentum continues until the next crisis is yet to be seen. For NPR News, I'm Heath Druzan.
And Heath is joining us live in studio now to tell us more about this. What is prepping?
So prepping is a term that that is pretty much what it sounds like. It means preparing for the worst. So it's preparing for a disaster. It could be preparing for a government emergency. You certainly hear some of the more kind of fringe groups, preparing for basically like a government collapse. But it can also be just very simple, or not simple, but, stuff that you would imagine, like an earthquake, a flood, extended power outage. It's preparing to be self-reliant.
And how big of a deal is prepping here in our state?
Prepping is a big deal in Idaho. It's something that certainly in northern Idaho, especially, there's a lot of folks who live off the grid up there and actually call themselves preppers. And it's almost a lifestyle where they aim to be self-sufficient. They aim to be able to live on their own without, going to the grocery store necessarily or relying on government services or anything like that. But it's also more of a mainstream thing here because you have a kind of religious tenet mm-hmm. of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And that is a part of their religion, correct? I mean, there is that tie.
That's correct. So as a tenet of faith, you are supposed to be as self-reliant as possible. And there's all kinds of steps that you can take. And there's actually guidelines that the church gives you. And what your ultimate goal is to be able to get to the point where you can be self-sufficient for a year and also have enough to help less prepared neighbors mm-hmm. in case of an emergency.
A, this sounds really expensive, but B, I'm thinking of storage for a year. I mean, what does this look like? I mean, you were actually taken into people's homes who do this.
That's correct. There are logistical limitations. If you're in a studio apartment, this is going to be pretty difficult. But yeah, and when you look at the church guidelines, what they say is build up slowly, don't go into debt, you know, don't just try to be ready for years on end right away, because you could spend tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So yeah, I went to Wendy McKinney's house, and it's a house in you know, a suburban neighborhood in Meridian. It's nothing. It's nothing, you know, dramatic. There's no, you know, huge basement or anything. It's essentially a purpose built storage room attached to the garage. It's a pretty big storage room, but yeah, you've got shelves and shelves of dry food. I believe she said 55-gallon drums. There's a lot of aluminum cans up there, kind of industrial size, and just kind of practical items like camping gear and stuff in case you have to sleep rough or be on the move for a bit.
So, what was the most interesting thing you saw in Wendy's food storage shelves?
So, I think maybe the most surprising thing wasn't even a food item, but in the grab bag, she had single dollar bills for everyone. And I that struck me because there was so much attention to detail in her preparation. She explained to me, she's like, you know, in an emergency, people might not be able to make change. And she had thought it through that much. So like all the kids' bags and the adults had these single dollar bills in case you needed to buy something, you know, basic right. at a gas station, so you didn't just like waste your $20 bill. Now, depending on how much of an emergency is, I don't know if cash is going to be helpful, but you never know. I mean, she's talking about preparing for everything from, again, you know, a flood to, you know, something that we can't even imagine.
Was there something that surprised you the most about reporting this story?
I mean, I think what was most surprising and might be surprising to people is that I'm in a planned community in Meridian. You know, this is a very like very sort of neat, organized suburban community. This is not an off the grid compound out in the woods. This is not, you know, a sort of survivalist community. It's what you would imagine in Meridian, Idaho. There are folks in, you know, urban settings that are doing this, and it is becoming a little more mainstream.
And that's part of it, because I think in the past we would think of, as you talked about, a lot of folks in North Idaho who live off the grid, survivalists. That makes sense that they would do this. But then you have this religious component. But is that part of it? Is just that it is becoming more mainstream within our society?
Yeah, and in the story at the end, you heard from someone at this website called theprepared.com, and this is actually a Silicon Valley startup that is trying to make prepping more mainstream, and they actually really kind of push back on the fringy reputation that it has, and they're basically trying to say, hey, everyone should be prepared for a certain amount of self-reliance, and here's how to do it.
So you mentioned a website for preppers during the story. So what kind of guides did you find on the websites or on social media?
So yeah, so I'm looking right here at like that's about 20 of the 40 pages of the
prepared. Oh, only 20 of the 40.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I will spare our audience all of them. You can look it up.
We have an hour.
So this is a sort of prepping for beginners guide, and it gets into great detail. But you know, there's some highlights. I think one of the interesting things is because these are widely available, it says don't buy off the shelf kits. 98% of them are not worth buying. And there's just kind of interesting sort of mental tips, like don't let prepping overwhelm or defeat you. It's important to enjoy the good life now and not go down a dark spiral of doomsday depression.
Interesting.
And what I really liked was avoid zombie and Rambo fantasies. Focus
there,
on
there
the
will
things
not
that
be a zombie
most.
Apocalypse.
Exactly. Focus on realistic dangers.
Okay, so let's get to the coronavirus really quick, because are there guidelines from states or the federal government for having supplies on hand? I mean, we know people are being quarantined due to this virus.
Right. And I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a specific coronavirus response, but I know growing up in California, you know, you tried to have basically a 72-hour kit, kind of like what Wendy was talking about, where you had just had enough supplies for 3 days. I mean, it's basics, right? It's non-perishable food. Mm-hmm. It's water or water tablets, water purification tablets being the most important because you might not have
access to
fresh water.
Right.
And then, you know, a warm sleeping bag, especially in the colder months. You know, Wendy pointed out it's nice to have something to entertain yourself with. I mean, even if it's like a card game or something, you know, think of all of the things. But yeah, she a 72-hour bag that you can carry. That's also important.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Thanks for talking to us about this. It's a fascinating story. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter Heath Drusen. You can find his other stories on our website at boisestatepublicradio.org. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.